I could talk about VBS all night, but that's not where the Lord led me to tonight. I can tell you that. I even thought about doing the Vacation Bible School Roadshow. Sometimes I need my glasses, sometimes I don't. I guess I need to go to Dr. Mark and see about getting some new eyes. But tonight it looks like I will need my glasses. I thought about doing that road show where Brother Wayne sometimes has the microphones going all over the congregation. Like, I love that. I'm not good enough to do that yet. So give me some time before I try to conquer that and everything. So instead, I have a message that I believe God really put on my heart to bring to you tonight. It's kind of a targeted message for a certain group of audience, but it can relate to each and every one of us. And maybe you can pick some things out of it and give to some others that are targeted in your family or in your life or your acquaintances that could benefit from this message. You see, it's this time of year where we have a lot of graduations, a lot of graduates, a lot of milestones in the area of life. A lot of people, they're concluding their formal schooling. Some are moving into positions of more school or advanced school, or they're moving into the careers, into the labor force and everything. That's all good. But sometimes when you face those things in life, you can have some questions. You can have some anxiety. You can be nervous. You're not sure what's going to happen next, and you want to know what's going to happen next, and you want to map everything out. And it can cause some anxiety, and you wish that you kind of had it all understood and laid out before you, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So I've got some points tonight that I want to give you, some points tonight for those that are graduated or that soon will be, because some of you are also entering your final year or so of your primary education or your secondary education. So you're heading towards that graduation moment, or some of you are already at that graduation moment. The first point I want to share with you is it's probably true for most of you, if not all of you, that you always ask the question, so what now? So what are you going to do? So what are your plans? And you probably have a thousand questions you'd like to ask them back and everything, because you may just not know. As much as you'd like to have your life mapped out and the roadmap of life set before you, as much as you'd like to know what your career is going to be, what your life's work is going to be, some of you may just not know. And that creates some anxiety. So when people ask you that all the time, you're like, what do I say? What do I say? Well, I'm going to tell you what you say. You're either finishing school, you're either going to do more school, so you're a graduate or about to graduate, you're going to do more school, or you're going to get a job. And I really want you to get a job. As a future Social Security recipient, I need you to get a job. But again, as bad as you want to know what your life's work will be, you sometimes simply do not know. So I encourage you, don't let that bother you so much. I know it pains you perhaps not to know exactly where you're going. That's okay. You're young. You got years ahead of you. You got obstacles, roadblocks. You got situations. You got circumstances. God will provide. God will show the way. But I know that question still burns. What do I do? So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Of all my points tonight, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures or a scripture that can help point you in the right direction, help give you some comfort. So the first scripture about what are you going to do? What's your plans? What's next in your life? It's found in Jeremiah 29:11. You may not know. You may not have an idea. You may be full of anxiety because all your friends have got everything mapped out. They've got it stepped out. We're going to do this next year, that, the year after this, the year after, then we're going to have this and do that. And you're like, I'm just trying to get through next week. I don't even know what to do. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that word welfare there is not welfare recipient. That is that you will fare well. You will have success. You will succeed. So I know you get sometimes some anxiety. I don't know what to do. Rest in the Lord's word there, that He's got plans for you. He's going to make sure that you have the opportunities that you need, that He's got mapped out for you. You just have to rest in Him. Deuteronomy 31:8 says it a little bit different. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So you might find yourself confused, anxious, nervous, wondering. All I can tell you is put it in His hands and take comfort. I know that's easier said than done, but I can tell you at this point in my life, every time I do turn it over to the Lord and rest it on Him, I have peace and I have comfort. It may not work out the way I want it to work out, which is good because I will always monkey it up, but it'll work out the way God plans it to work out. So rest it on the Lord and He will take care of it. Give it to the Lord. And the last thing I'll say on that point is also don't forget, get a job. Number two, understand that it's okay to fail. Fail, F-A-I-L. It's okay to fail. Failure's okay as long as you learn from it. In fact, Thomas Edison, he failed at least 1,000 times to create the light bulb. We're sitting underneath his basic creation that was created way back then. We've got the basic parameters of it still to this day. He failed at that over 1,000 times. And when asked about that, he said inventing the light bulb was just a process that took 1,000 steps to complete. Failure's okay as long as you learn along the way. Sometimes our biggest obstacle in life is ourselves. We don't try something. We don't go somewhere. We don't do this. We don't do that because we're afraid of failure, which in a sense is what we're saying is we don't want to be embarrassed. I see this a lot with teenagers that I work with. They don't open up in small group discussions, or they don't open up in prayers, or they don't worship in a relaxed atmosphere because they're afraid of being judged. They're afraid of being ridiculed. They're afraid of being laughed at. And I get it. I see some judgy people sometimes. I hear the snide remarks from friends and colleagues and so forth sometimes. Even in our own youth group, I've seen well-meaning remarks actually sting a child. Sometimes it's said by other teens. Sometimes it's by adults. And I'm trying to quell that, but you got to understand, in today's society, there's this pick-on mentality that's kind of their part of their nature. They see it from the media, from the media influences. But it's okay to fail. Here's some scripture to comfort you for those times that you might be concerned and embarrassed and worried about failure. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Those who keep their mind on the things of the Lord will have peace. They'll stand on the rock, and when they have the storms of ridicule and the storms of life, they'll be able to withstand that storm because they are on that rock. So understand, number two, it's okay to fail. Learning from failure is what you need to make sure you do. Number three, run your race. Run your race. We live in such a world now where everybody wants to be like the others. We want to keep up with the Kardashians. We want to have romance like The Bachelorette and The Bachelors and all these different reality TV shows. We want to be like that. Everything in the world says this is how you should be. They all paint a picture about the way life should be, but God created you uniquely and wonderfully for His design and His plans. So live your life. Seek your path. Don't copy the path of mama or daddy or papa or your friend or your colleague. Find the path that God wants you on and be the best you that you can be. That's the way God designed you to be. The world tells you to look at these other activities, these other media sources, these other things, that'll give you the best life now. The world will paint sin as glamorous, and that is where you will find the happiness that you seek. That is where you'll find the ease and the comfort and everything, is the world of sin. Here's a scripture for you about that. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. You might notice that I'm using the English Standard Version tonight on most of my scriptures, if not all my scriptures, because it just translated a little bit better for what I wanted the young people to take away from tonight. Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. If you stay true to the Lord, let not your heart stray to the worldly ways, the worldly desires. Your future will line up with God's way, and your path will not be cut off. Guaranteed. So run your race. Be who God designed you to be. Find your path. Number four. Beware of social media. Beware of social media. Now, most in this room, most of the generation in this room never had to deal with this, never had to discuss this or anything, but it is a real plague on today's society. Let me explain the problems that it produces. The best thing about social media is that you can stay updated with the lives of your friends and family members that you may not see every day or have contact with every day. That's the best thing about it. The worst thing about social media is that you can stay updated with the lives of your friends and family members and stay in contact with them that you may not see every day. Social media can often give you a false perception of reality. When things are going well, we post it all over for the world to see. Look at me. Look at this. Oh, everything's super. Everything's great. When things aren't going so well, we don't usually paint it as much of a picture, or we don't post it at all, or we kind of quell it down a little bit. It goes hand in hand with my talking points about not knowing what to do with your life, about running your own race, and about the reality TV show mentality that we have today, the picking on and the bullying. It drives many young people to disaster. Social media drives many young people to disaster, even to suicide. We've had that affect our community right here in Valdosta, Georgia, where a teen took their life due to social media bullying. And it could happen to any one of our families. Heard just the other day from some of my teenagers that there's a new app. For those of y'all that know what apps are, I'm kind of figuring it out. There's a new app out there that's really designed where you can be anonymous and just roast other people on there. Now, roast is the fancy word young people use now for tear them down, for bullying them. That you can just roast them, and nobody will know who you are. They get on there and feed that filth and that trash in their minds and everything and pick on each other and bully each other with that. It's a different world. What do we do about it? Here's a scripture for you. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. What that scripture is telling me is that we need to make sure the timing is of the Lord's. So when you get anxious because you've looked on the Instagram and you realize that your friend from high school is already married and she's only 25 and has got a kid on the way, or you find out that cousin landed that new job in New York City and is going to live in downtown Manhattan, or that frenemy you've got that just distaste each other with friends and enemies throughout your high school years has suddenly got everything going once again her way, you got to throw all that garbage out. You can't let it pollute your mind. You got to remember to be strong and wait for the Lord. So point number four was beware of social media. It paints a false reality. Number five, your education continues. You may be finished with your formal schooling, but your education continues. Just because your formal schooling is over, don't think that your learning has stopped. Just like somebody that has once read the Bible from cover to cover, they just don't put it on the shelf and walk away and say, I've done that. You've got to go back and pick these things up. You've got to continually learn and continually process these things. You need to learn to be a lifelong learner. In fact, Grandma Moses, a famous American painter, started painting at 78 years of age. Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame, which I'm very fond of, started Kentucky Fried Chicken at 65 years of age. Ray Kroc, at the 59 years of age, bought out the McDonald Brothers restaurant, and the rest is history. Warren Buffett, many times over, been named the richest man in the world, reads 500 pages on average every day of all kind of topics and subjects. And he's 88 years old and still working today. Your education continues. Here's a scripture for you to give you some strength for that. Isaiah 40:29-31. Isaiah 40:29-31. Verse 29 starts off, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So as you're going to be a lifelong learner, sure, it might get tiresome. You may need some new energy. It may be time to learn how to work smarter and not harder. But you should always remember that God will provide the energy if you supply the convictions, if you supply the will. You can see this also evident in Psalm 119, verses 105 and 106. Psalm 119, verse 105 and 106. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. You see, again, the scripture is telling you, your pathway will be lit, your doors will be open, if you'll just keep the righteous rules and always be learning. Your formal education may be over, but your lifelong learning process is just begun. Number six, then we have a conclusion. Number six, you're at a milestone in life. It might be time for some new habits or hobbies. You're at a milestone in life. It might be time for new habits or new hobbies. If I asked everybody in the room right now to stop and think back to your younger years, you could probably think about a person that comes to mind very vividly that simply never grew up. Mentally, probably very much spiritually, they're exactly where they were when you left them in high school or college or wherever you were acquainted with them, and they've never advanced beyond that. They're Peter Pan. They never grew up. They're a lost boy. I know several like that. And I can tell you that it cost them a lot of money in their lifetime. It cost them some relationships that just shattered some broken hearts along the way. And some marriages were ended because they refused to grow up. They still wanted to play cards every night. They wanted to hang out at the softball field every weekend. Or they constantly wanted to be at the hunting camp or on the flats fishing or whatever. At some point, your sights need to adjust because your life trajectory has changed. It has altered, so now perhaps your actions need to alter as well. Now, before you start casting stones at me because you think I'm telling you not to go hunting or fishing anymore, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I'm not saying you have to give up your pleasures or your pastimes and your hobbies and so forth and everything. But if you keep doing the same things you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting the same thing you've always been gotten. And it might be time for you in life to move towards the adult things, to move towards the spiritual things, to move toward the advanced things. A great friend of mine here at this church overheard speaking one day, not to me directly, I overheard this person speaking, who's an avid hunter, loves to hunt, but confessed to a group of men standing around as they were swapping some hunting stories, says, well, I enjoy hunting, but it doesn't really have the ring to me that it once did. Now I get my thrills by taking my grandchildren hunting. That's changing your hobbies. That's changing your nature. That's changing your direction. That's growing up. And that's what the scripture tells us to do. Now let me conclude with some final thoughts and some scripture as we close this subject out. I would challenge whoever I've been speaking to tonight, because I feel like this message needed to be heard by somebody. Maybe you're a graduate or soon-to-be graduate or a recent graduate, or you know somebody that's going to graduate. I would challenge you to read the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes. It's only 12 chapters long. Take a 12-day challenge. Read a chapter a day. I'd encourage you to get several translations of it. Online, you can get an app on Bible Gateway where you can pull up five or six translations and put them right next to each other and read each one of them so that the message will ring to you and touch your heart and everything. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I'll warn you, the book of Ecclesiastes can be a very depressing book. It starts off with the writer, and there's some debate about who was the writer, but most Bible scholars believe Solomon was the main author of it, King Solomon in his later years. But there is some great debate about it. But the writer opens up by saying, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. That's translated by saying, meaningless, meaningless, it's all meaningless. Also, another way to say it is useless, useless, it's all useless. In other words, what he's describing is that man can labor, man can toil, man can build things, he can obtain power, he can obtain wealth, he can do all of things, and it's all meaningless. But now you have to, that's in the opening chapter, opening verses, now you have to stick with it, okay? You stick with it and you'll see some things where the writer talks about all kinds of things that man aspires to, such as great wealth. And King Solomon, in his writings, talked about the masses of great riches that he accumulated, but it won't go with you into eternity. Talked about the power. You know the funny thing about power? When you lose power, all those people that followed you and were friends with you, you'll lose them too. Property, just like wealth, you can have it all kind of property, all kind of buildings. Eventually they all crumble, they all go to somebody else. You can't take it with you. You can have wisdom. The writer of Ecclesiastes talks about gaining knowledge. Maybe that's the key to life. Get in as smart as you can. You can have the knowledge of and wisdom of Einstein and the street smarts of Rocky Balboa, even combine the two together. And it won't help you when you get to the judgment seat. Because the writer of Ecclesiastes described it all that you can amass, all that you can do, all that man can toil over. He stated everything, and he concludes with this teaching. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. He had different counselors coming to him, giving him lessons, giving him descriptions, talking to him. All has been heard. The end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. What the Holy Word of God is saying there is that no matter what you do, young graduate, soon to be graduate, no matter what you accomplish, no matter what you set your sights on, no matter what you strive to become, no matter what you will become, no matter what you do accomplish, all that really matters at the end of life is what did you do with Jesus Christ? And there will be an accounting at the judgment seat about that. So, a simple message tonight. Six practical tips for those that are graduates or soon will be. Number one, you don't know what you're going to do with your life. You don't know where to go. You don't know what direction to take. Give it over to the Lord. And by the way, get a job. Number two, remember, it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. Learn from your mistakes. Don't be embarrassed. Number three, run your race. Not your mom's, not your dad's, not your grandma's, not your best friend's. Your race. God uniquely designed you, created you for a purpose. Seek his will, and you will find it. Number four, beware of social media. It paints such a false reality out there that it can taint your mind, it can pollute your mind, it can make you think all kind of things that you shouldn't be thinking, it can make you do the things you shouldn't do. Just put it in perspective. I'm not saying you all got to log off of Facebook, but you've got to put it in perspective. Beware of social media. It cuts both ways. Number five, your formal education may be over, but your education in the ways of the world, your wisdom building continues. Number six, it's time now for new habits, new hobbies. It's time now for you to put your childhood things away and to be a man or a young lady. And of course, as we just heard, the writer of Ecclesiastes summed it all up. Those are six practical tips. But in the end, in the game of life, what you do with Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to ultimately matter the most for eternity. And there will be a judgment seat where you'll be held account for that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, one more time I have to say thank you for Vacation Bible School, for all the young children that you had on this campus. How beautiful they are. How precious in your sight. Lord, thank you for the safety that you gave us all week. Thank you for the numbers that you provided. Thank you for the workers that showed up and turned out and did so much to scatter that seed of your word. Lord, that's all I've tried to do tonight, is be your mouthpiece, to scatter your word to some graduates or those that will soon graduate, be it they graduate from traditional schools or from the schools that we all may graduate from, the school of hard knocks, the school of life, whatever it may be. Let us remember that the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that the only thing that matters, the only thing that will be held account for, is what do we do with Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to put your hand of protection upon these young graduates, upon these that will soon graduate. Guide them through their final months, their final days, their final years. Launch them into life, shielded with your word, ready to do your deeds, ready to do your work for your kingdom. We're thankful for their lives, and I ask your protective hand to be upon them and guide them as we love them, as we love you and praise you, as all of God's children say, amen.